Welcome back, everybody, to School Spirit here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Tom McNew from the St. Colby Studios here in our brand new office spaces. We appreciate everybody joining us and tuning in. Today, I've got Miss Misty Poe and Miss Juliana Ruida with us from the diocese. And we're going to talk specifically about some updates to the Texas Education Freedom Account and the application process specifically. Hopefully provide you guys some tips and tricks and helpful hints for those, especially for those of you that are still trying to work through the process and make it more streamlined for you and hopefully get a better success rate. So Miss Misty and Miss Juliana, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate y'all's time.
Thank you for the invitation. We love to be on your radio and share great news with the Catholic community.
Amen. So real quick, just introduce yourselves again for our new listeners who may not know exactly who you are.
I'm Misty Poe, Superintendent of Catholic Schools.
And I'm Juliana Rueda. I'm the Associate Director of Marketing and Events for the Office of Catholic Schools.
And Juliana is really the one who's the most busiest running all this, all these TIFA stuff and all these conversations with the schools, I'm sure. So,
you know, it's been schools have been amazing at partnering with us and sharing information with families. So we're very proud of the work our schools are doing too.
Yeah. So kind of, so here we are, you know, the middle of February. Where are we with the window that's been open now, I guess, about 2 weeks, right?
Open on February 4th. So we're going into our second week.
Yeah.
And it will close March 17th.
Okay.
At 11:59 p.m.
Do we have any kind of statistics yet from the state that maybe we'll
Yeah,
help
actually, the state posted that as of this morning, 87,000 applications have been received.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
So it
incredible.
speaks on the demand. It speaks of that families want school choice. It speaks of the families that, you know, are looking for other educational opportunities for their children, and they want to have a say in that, which is amazing. Exactly what the church teaches.
Exactly. Exactly. We've talked about that on a couple of occasions here, and I know it's very, very important to many, many of our listeners, having that vocal first say in their children's education. So let's just kind of talk through the application process. And again, you know, what should parents and or grandparents and godparents be looking for when they first, you know, when they get onto this first website?
So when they get on the website, it could take 10 minutes for a basic application, and it could take a little bit longer, maybe 20 minutes if it's a student, a family applying for a student who has special needs. And so really it's the their driver's license number, they need the birth certificate, some type of verification of citizenship. Their income tax, we discovered, was supposed to be automatically uploaded, but they have to have a picture of it or the PDF of it now to upload in the application.
Okay. So
So,
it's not just a link to where their 1040 is with the IRS. It's the actual document.
Yeah. We were hoping that was it, but they weren't able to get that together due to the government shutdown. So we're having to upload it this year. Hopefully next year they'll have that corrected.
Okay.
And then if there's any students applying with special needs, they'll need to have that documentation to upload. And so what we're recommending for the clinics, some parents are already coming with their own computer and those documents saved on their computer to the clinic and then being walked through the process, or using the phone because they've already taken pictures of the
I
items.
see.
The app is also accepting pictures. It's actually recommended that is photographs of the documents in lieu of PDFs. They process faster. So they
That's
could come with their
interesting.
phone. And there will be individuals to help them walk through the clinic, or they could do it themselves from home. And if they already have pictures, it's easy for them to upload through the application.
Yeah, from what we hear, the application is pretty user-friendly in the sense that, you know, if somebody doesn't happen to complete the application at once, they can come back to it. It'll save their progress. And it'll save everything that they've done, up until submitting the application. So if somebody's waiting for a specific document for prioritization, or they're waiting to complete their tax return for this year because there's a significant change in their income, then they can fill out up until that point the documents of the finance documents, and then come back to it once those are ready. Of course, the application is not deemed as complete until everything has been submitted.
So they can save their progress as they go.
That's correct. Yeah.
And so, Tim, just to clarify, they just need the student social security number, their driver's license number, tax forms, and then if they have special needs. Those are pretty much the key information that people don't have on hand except for their driver's license number.
Are we running into any problems with the specificity behind the special needs cases or?
And I would say problems, just some challenges being that's a new program and working with the local ISDs. So if a child does have special needs and has a current IEP within the last 3 years, their ISD can upload that IEP for them through the system. We're just asking the parents to reach out to the ISD just to remind them to upload that through the system. If they have an older IEP or out-of-state IEP, there is a separate form that the state is asking them to fill out called the disability certification form, and then uploading that to the application. So there's a little bit of extra steps. The ISDs are getting on board as they're learning about the process too. So that's kind of been a little bit of a delay, but we've sent out a lot of information in our updates to help guide them on who to contact, what to say in the email as you're requesting this IEP and other information to be uploaded.
I was actually looking at your website, which we'll mention several times here, but it's csdatx.org. And folks are going to get tired of listening to me mention this website, but it is truly the great a great collection of resources and information for everybody to go through that. And I assume that you're updating that constantly as you get more information, you hear more from folks in schools.
Earlier, Juliana is working nonstop as we have updates or tips were given to help the parents to make it easier. She's posting those on the website and also pushing out weekly updates.
Where on the website can folks sign up for your weekly updates?
Yeah, certainly. So there's an intake form, csdatx.org. If you want to go directly, is slash school choice. That will take you directly to our school choice page, specifically for Catholic schools. In there's an intake form. You give us your name, your email, and we'll be sending you any updates that we hear about for families to be ready to apply. And also, just keep reminding them that, the application doesn't mean that they're automatically accepted to a school. So we really want to encourage them to continue exploring Catholic schools in the Diocese of Austin, and visiting their nearest school and starting the admissions process, so that when they do get the TIFA funding, that they're able to apply it to a Catholic school.
We've hosted a couple of seminars here, and I know that that's always been a point of conversation, is that it's kind of this dual track, especially for the families and that don't have students
Students.
already in a school, or coming from a homeschool situation, wanting to move into a Catholic school, that they gotta march down two roads at the same time.
Many of our schools are hosting clinics, so we know that, because this process is new to many families, that they can go to any of our clinics across the Central Texas, and we can help them complete the application, ask any specific questions that they may have. We know that family scenarios are so different. So if they have specific questions, they can visit with one of our school leaders, and or just visit the school for a tour, or an open house. It would be a great opportunity to do both in one
There you
day,
go.
and just take advantage of the time. But we have over 30 clinics just being hosted across the diocese. S about six of them are happening in the Temple Killeen area. That whole di or the
Deanery.
deanery, yes, But we're, I mean, we are ready to help families in completing this application in this process.
You want to run down
And
that
you can find
list?
those clinics on
Okay,
our
yeah, go.
website at csdatx.org. But a listing of all the clinics are there across the diocese,
Perfect.
dates and times.
Okay. Yeah. So that's really the folks, your first stop is to go to csdatx.org. Go to a clinic. And just like Juliana was saying, it's a great opportunity to go to a clinic at a school, maybe, find a school that you're thinking about, or that you've heard from other friends and family or fellow parishioners, and do both at the same time. Get a tour of the school, and I know many of the schools in our listening area for sure have said repeatedly, "Hey, we'll do a tour, after you finish uploading your TIFA documents in any time." So,
It can be before or
there
after,
you go,
for
there you
sure.
go,
And
there you go.
then, Tom, another thing we did learn over the past couple of weeks is for our homeschool families, we're really hoping that they also apply. We've heard many have, and some are on the fence, like they've homeschooled, but they might consider a Catholic school now because of the funding. It is recommended that they apply to receive the private school funding of the $10,464. And if they choose to homeschool, they can drop that down to a homeschool and get the $2,000. But if they apply under the homeschool section, they change their mind, they can't increase it to the 10,000.
Okay.
So we're encouraging them, if they're on the fence, to apply for the Catholic school and get that $10,474. And if they change their mind to homeschool, not a problem. Then they'll drop it to the 2,000. But they can't go from the 2,000 back up to the 10 once they've been approved.
So is there an opportunity then between now and the 17th of March, if I've already filled out my application and I decided, or I put under the homeschool version, but I want to take your advice and update it. Is there an opportunity for me to do that as well?
We are informed. Yes, we believe that is the case. You can go back and
Okay.
change that as long as you do before the window closes.
Before the 17th of March, that's the most
Before
important
the
day.
17th of March.
Yeah.
And
So all your
even
all
when the window closes, even though you can't really, I mean, go back on the application, there's going to be a period of time that they're going to confirm enrollment, meaning that they're going to
Gotcha.
ensure that the student is actually, attending the Catholic school or, in hope in plans of attending the Catholic school. So if that doesn't happen, then that verification may drop that amount. But yeah, we just recommend that they kind of start with, the highest amount from the beginning. So that if something doesn't go, according to plan, that they're able to still have some funding available.
Yeah. So what about folks that well, let me ask the question this way. Are folks, what kind of feedback are folks getting once they're done with that application?
Depending, for those who are filling out without a student with special needs, it was very easy, they're saying. Those who have special needs, there's a few more documents that are being required. That's just taking a little longer. But the fact that we had 87,000 already
Yeah.
complete the application, and really it's only been 1 week, Wednesday to Wednesday, is quite impressive.
Yeah.
So the application at the very end will kind of give you two things. Either student is eligible. Doesn't mean that they're officially granted funding. It just means that, that they qualify for the program or that the application is under review. Meaning that either they don't qualify, they apply for pre-K and they don't have, all the requirements, or there's additional documentation that is going to be requested from them. But really, I mean, if you get that your child is eligible, means that the application has been complete and you might be, in the lottery for funding.
And an email will follow. Once they submit it, they get an email saying, thank you for submitting your application. So the parents receive acknowledgement of it. And then we just wait till April 6th when the awards are granted.
So anything other than eligible or under review, there's an issue somewhere that they need to go back into the system and try and figure out what that problem is.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. And that would be great, really kind of another benefit behind going to one of these clinics. If they've gotten that far, they've gotten to that 75% mark, that they can maybe help somebody. who's got a little more experience to help them walk through that last little bit.
Correct. Yeah. And some of the feedback that we've received from schools that have already hosted clinics is that many parents already know where to go, how to do it, but they just want that confidence that they're doing it right. So that's why, the school leaders have been trained and have been appraised of all this information so that they give, parents that confidence that the application is being done right.
Okay. Do we have any kind of indication from the state as to what's going to happen? Let's try to, I mean, look into your crystal ball here, and April 6th comes along, and a family gets denied. Is there going to be any kind of appeals process? Do we know?
That's a good question. I mean, technically, with the initial application, the family would be notified if they're denied. And from what we're understanding, the only reason they would be denied is if the child is not a lawful resident, or if they didn't meet the pre-K eligibility requirements. That's the only thing that could deny a family of not being able to participate. I
Okay.
think essentially, though, that everybody that doesn't get funding is kind of put on a wait list or a wait pool so that when the enrollment verification period comes, if somebody who has gotten funding doesn't, doesn't attend a private school or is not homeschooling and wants to come back or attend a public school, then that funding comes back to the state, which is reallocated to somebody in the wait list or in the wait
Okay.
pool.
So
But yeah,
essentially,
so if they don't
everyone's.
get.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tom.
Essentially, everyone is going to wind up in one of the four buckets. And really, the big question is how much money is going to be left when we move from the first bucket to the next
Bucket to
bucket and
bucket,
so on.
right? Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, that's got to be a little reassuring for a lot of our folks. I know that there's I've heard some people have asked, the questions like, what happens if I don't. If I get told no, like, well, you're not going to get told no. You're just going to get told not this year. And is it still true that, let's say I get stuck in bucket three, and all the money runs out at the end of bucket two, am I going to have to reapply next year?
So our understanding is you'll have your application already there. You'll just have to, I guess, update it and resubmit it, but you shouldn't have to go through the whole application process again, unless there's been some change on your status, whether you're going to change your income tax return or a child with special needs be included.
Okay.
Or
So really.
adding members of the family. Maybe you might have, a child who's not school age, but then by next year there are three or four or five and ready to attend a school, then you may add them to the application at that point.
Okay. So one of the things that was a question that was asked, and you guys may not know the answer to this, and that's okay, but a question that was asked at one of our recent seminars was, because there's a stipulation in there about, and I'm paraphrasing, that money that is used, or any of this TIFA money that is used for like non-tuition items. Like mom and dad use some of their homeschool money to buy a laptop for junior. And then a couple years from now, they move out of state and they take that laptop with them. Now, the way, if you read the letter of the law, it says that they can't sell that laptop to somebody else because it was, I'm using air quotes, you can't see me, used to with our TIFA funds were used to buy that laptop. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of clarification as we get down the road. But is that a legitimate? Are we putting the cart before the horse here, trying to worry about some of those kinds of things?
I think they're just trying to be transparent with the funding so parents fully understand if they participate what the funding can and can't go to. So they can list it for tuition and laptops and textbooks and uniforms and so forth. But it is true that they can't sell any of those items to recoup money because it wasn't their money to begin with, so to speak. So if they do move out of state, they take the computer with them, but they can't, technically, they shouldn't be selling the computer.
Yeah, and I think the other aspect of that particular thing that folks were concerned with is a lot of the schools, they at the end of the school year, a lot of the schools will offer the quote unquote gently used school uniforms, for the next year's kids. We all have kids that we know that they outgrow them. A lot of them outgrow them before they really get worn out. And it's always been a great opportunity. Even when my own kids were little, it was a great opportunity. Shoes were always the big thing, to buy a pair of shoes that's been worn two or three times, and it's still pretty good. But potentially that's going to run risk as well, with this kind of this stipulation.
It could, but they can buy uniforms with the TIFA to begin with, so it would be no out-of-pocket expense for them, technically, because it's coming from TIFA. But yeah, these are some things we're going to have to look at regarding the resale they have. Families can buy it from the school, but they can't technically resell it. I think so. So there's some things we're still going to have to address as we move into this gift and learn how to work with it.
We've got
But
just
they could donate their uniforms. Many of them donate their uniforms back to the school. And then
that becomes kind of a closet, a community closet that when new parents come in, or like you said, children outgrowing, they just need one more polo or one more khaki pants. They're able to dig into that closet. I mean, we've been recipients of that and has been really helpful, to some extent to get us started. So, yeah, donations are always, help other families and doesn't violate the rules of TIFA.
Right.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Okay, we're down into our last few minutes here. Any other info that you want to give to our listeners as it relates to this application process?
I think we just want to encourage families who have children to apply and families who don't, notify families who do. We are surprised still by the number of families who are unaware of this wonderful opportunity for them to have a choice in how they want their child to be educated and the support that they can provide their child. So continuing to talk with family, friends, neighbors about this wonderful opportunity, visit our website, sign up to get the newsletters. And then if they have any questions, so please reach out to their local Catholic school or the Catholic school's office. We're happy to help.
I think there's also I heard this from a friend of a friend, but there's a perception of a stigma, and that's probably the wrong language to use, but just that I needed to go get a handout, and that's not what this is all about. This is an opportunity for, like you said up front, Juliana, but an opportunity for families to take charge of the education of their children.
Correct.
Well,
Yes.
thank y'all both very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time, and appreciate your hard work and collecting all this stuff. Juliana needs a pay raise, Misty. I don't know how you can arrange
I know. I'm working on it.
it.
the best gift would be for people to know what this is and what this is about and to actually move forward with the application. So, share the news, share the opportunities with others.
CSDATX.org, your one-stop shop for everything that related to the Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Austin, but certainly everything related to the TIFA and all the tricks and tips that the diocese has learned from all their conversations. Go to the website, find a clinic that's near you. You said there are 30 some odd between now and the next couple of weeks.
Yes, in all areas of our diocese, six in particular will be taking place in Temple and Killeen. So don't
All
miss those
right.
opportunities.
Yeah, there you go, folks. Well, thank y'all both very much. I appreciate your time, and we'll have to come back like after the 17th and see where we are, and see how that process is, and where we're kind
That
of
would
our
be great.
stats. Yeah. All
Yes,
right.
looking forward to it.
All right, folks. If you missed some or all of today's episode of School Spirit, you can always tune back in on Sunday afternoon and pick up the rest of it. And then after that, it'll be up on our website, along with all of the other interviews that we've done. with the diocese and with some of the other schools and with Chairman Buckley himself that relate to the school choice bill and the application and the process of TIFA. So thank y'all both very much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless everybody, and remember to put on the armor of God.